martini.
Подняла мне тут бабу Абокин.
Hello, Star Wars fam, and welcome to another episode of Jabba Jabber, playing exclusively on Utini Radio. I'm your host, David Wren, and I am joined by my best friend and co-host, Dennis the Phantom Menace.
Hey there, everybody. We can't believe that we're finally here in the final arc of the final season of Clone Wars, but here we are. It's exciting, but also bittersweet at the same time. We only have a couple of episodes left, but boy are they gonna be a doozy. We also have a lot to talk about for this episode, so let's not waste any more time with the small talk, and let's dive right in. To all of you listening out there, wherever you may be across the galaxy, we hope you're staying safe and healthy. But for now, sit back, relax, and get ready to experience the power of this fully armed and operational podcast.
This is the way.
Primary ignition.
I talk first. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Jawa Jabber. We've finally hit our 10th episode, and it just so happens to correspond to episode number 10 of this final season of the Clone Wars. Totally coincidental. No, I'm just kidding. Everything that has transpired has done so according to my design. This episode is part 2 of The Siege of Mandalore, but it's entitled The Phantom Apprentice. What did you think of this episode, David? Did you like it more? Did you like it just as much as the previous one? Or less, maybe?
I liked it just as much. I stand by my I want all four of these episodes together. That being said, I am happy that they didn't necessarily do, like, the wartime narration thing. And, they started this episode, like, they showed the logo, and, like, that was it. And then it went right to the action. Because in my head, that is showing that eventually they are going to put these four episodes together.
Yes, I completely agree. I think that's exactly what they're going to do.
Me personally, as much as I like watching it week to week, I really wish for this one, this last one, they had put it all together.
Well, I can tell you one thing. I did not cry once for this episode, unlike the previous one. It was all pure adrenaline, shock, and excitement. I was straight up standing many times while watching this episode. You know, I found sitting down to be nearly impossible. I stared at the credits at the end, having to pick up my jaw from off of the floor, just trying to process everything I had just seen and heard. And then I thought about it all day. I watched it again during my lunch break at work, and then I watched it again after work. It was just simply amazing.
There wasn't time to cry during this one.
No, there wasn't.
Yeah, no, there really wasn't. Ooh, you know what the best part about this episode was? And we'll get to it. But Ahsoka had the high ground, all I'm going to say.
She did.
Love it, love it, love it. You know, I've watched it now 3 times.
Same as me.
Like, because even last week, I only watched it like a second time. I think my most watched episode of anything is still the finale of The Mandalorian.
Yep.
Those last two episodes, I kind of watched them together, and I've watched that several times. Not the entire series, but, like, just those last two I've watched at least 5 or 6 times.
For me, personally, this episode has been my favorite of this season so far. I liked the last one, but this one was better for me than the last one, personally.
See, I was gonna say, like, my initial gut reaction is that last week's was still better.
Yeah.
For me personally, although I do really enjoy this one. I don't know, there was something about last week's episode that just got me.
I think it was kind of, and I wanted to mention it on last week's episode, but I remember it now when you mentioned that I think it showed us the Ahsoka that a lot of fans wanted.
Yeah, yes. I think I mentioned that.
Yeah, you actually may have.
Or I mentioned, like, me personally, this was the mm-hmm. Ahsoka I wanted on, right. like, the arc beforehand. You know what I mean? Like, I did mention something along those lines.
Yeah, different than the arc with the Martez sisters.
Yes, which I'm not trashing it.
Right.
Disclaimer, I am not trashing it. But me personally, yes, I liked this much better. And of course, you know, my favorite thing about Clone Wars, Anakin's hair.
Indeed, that is your favorite.
Mm-hmm. Not just Anakin, Anakin's hair. In season 7, I guess the rest of the series, it doesn't count.
You're going to be so bummed out when we find out he's bald later.
Not in Clone Wars.
No, but when he's Vader.
Yeah, I know, but they're not going to animate that. And we already know that, so I already know it, so I can't get disappointed.
That's true. So I wanted to kind of recap what you said earlier, but the episode begins again with that old Lucasfilm green title font, that really nostalgic one.
Which I think they should redo all of those movies on Disney Plus and have that logo on there.
See, for me, that was super special because it reminded me of the VHS tapes that I had when I was a kid, you know, and watching them in the VCR in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
This time, we got a much more sinister sounding intro with the red Clone Wars logo.
Yes.
There was no John Williams music fanfare.
No music, really.
There was just, you know, that sinister sounding, this is all coming to a head right now.
It was just like a, it was almost just like a note, and then it kind of gradually built a little bit, and then it was dark, and then we cut right to Ahsoka.
Right. There was no main title or Star Wars or anything like that. And I think that this was done in order to show that the Sith are beginning to retake control of the galaxy because of the red
mm-hmm.
and that deep hum of the lightsaber where we left off with Ahsoka earlier.
Yes. Yep.
And then it spells out part two, The Phantom Apprentice. So I feel like it's giving us this final arc, as we were talking about earlier, a cinematic feel. And like you said, I really do think they'll combine all four into a movie at some point. I think it'd be dumb for them not to. And maybe, just maybe, they will do that for next celebration. Wouldn't that be so much fun?
That would be awesome.
It didn't even have to be a panel.
No,
they could just do,
like,
a movie.
Yeah.
That would be a lot of fun.
I mean, and like, when I initially said this last week, all I was really thinking was, like, okay, after part four shows up on Disney Plus, like, give us an option to watch all four at once. Like, you know, like, just edit it together
uh-huh.
for that. But I like your idea better. I like, yeah, give us, yeah, please. Not only give us Celebration, but give us Clone Wars all four parts at Celebration, please.
Yeah, that would be amazing. And so whenever Celebration's going to be, that's when I want it.
And it started with Celebration, because at Celebration in Chicago, that's where we got our trailer, and we got the picture of Ahsoka from last week's episode.
Yes, yes we did.
So, you know, this all started with Celebration. Let it end with Celebration.
Exactly. That's a very good point. It started that way. Let's end it that way.
The circle is now complete.
Yes, the circle is now complete.
It's Maul and Ahsoka and... Maul is basically taunting Ahsoka, and he's trying to figure out who she is, why Kenobi sent her, and, you know, he says something along the lines of that we have mutual friends, and Ahsoka says, I doubt that.
I think she says, I wouldn't put it that way.
That's, yes. Thank you, Mr. Scriptman Dennis. See, even my detailed notes, I mess up. So Maul is taunting Ahsoka, and I really liked... when he said, I wonder if the moment may be upon us.
Mm.
Love it, because that, in my head, Maul knows exactly what is happening.
Yeah, he's kind of looking up.
Yeah, like, which for anyone living under a rock, it's Revenge of the Sith. Go watch it.
And Ahsoka kind of looks up, too, like, what is he looking at?
But yeah, then he goes on to say, soon the Jedi and the Republic will no longer be the controlling interest in the galaxy.
Then Ahsoka responds to him and says something to the effect of, who's going to be in charge? You?
Oh, right. Yes. Okay.
You know, she still has her lightsabers up. She still has her guard up. And he's kind of just pacing with his hands behind his back and taunting her, like you said. But he's also speaking his mind and not being very aggressive. He's being more subdued than I think I've ever seen him.
Yeah, and it was an interesting... It made him seem a lot more menacing.
Yeah, it kind of did.
Not that he's not menacing at all, because he is, not to mention one of the cooler villains in Star Wars. But he just... Yeah, I like... It was a more controlled Maul. It shows how far he's grown since he was a crazy Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And it came off to me very Palpatine-like, actually, with how calm he was.
Uh-huh.
Like he learned from his master how to be the manipulator.
I think for this episode, it's one of the most psychologically profound episodes of the season.
Mm, yeah.
There are some aspects that dive really deep into parts of our human nature. And, you know, I always love those deeper meanings, in addition to the action sequences, which are also always amazing.
Yeah, I agree with you. And then I forgot, I don't know if you have written down who ignites first, but... They, like, go to duel, and Maul goes, not yet, and Force pushes her away.
Well, so they get interrupted because she presses that communicator button on her arm.
Yes.
And then Rex comes over, and yes, then they start shooting. But at that point, Ahsoka still had her lightsabers ignited, and then Maul turns his on and then goes at her, and for a very short amount of time. But then he releases and pushes her back,
mm-hmm.
and then says, not yet. And then he continues running down the tunnel with his Mandalorians.
Mm-hmm.
So I count that as a duel. Not very long, but maybe like the first lightsaber fight.
Yeah.
Because there were three in this episode, and I count that as the first.
Mm-hmm. And that was not part of Maul's plan yet. He just wanted to torment her or, you know, kind of manipulate her, find out information, yada, yada, yada. So that's why he kind of ran away.
Yeah. So what was the next scene? Do you remember what happened after that?
Well, next we cut to Ahsoka, Rex, and Bo.
Oh, that's right.
Talking to Obi-Wan via the Force Skype.
Okay, that's right. She said they got away, or he got away.
Right. I don't know. That it's not Force Skype. Force Skype is...
This is like a holo call.
Yeah, the holo... Yeah. Like the classic Star Wars, you know, that looks all blue and jiggly and whatever.
Jiggly.
Like, you know.
Yeah, it has that interference look.
Yeah, it's weird. And it's always struck me kind of funny because that technology... has to be the most used thing in Star Wars outside of lightsabers. And it looks like it's one of the most ancient.
Yeah.
You know, like the calls, if you want to call it that, get dropped all the time. You know, like if the communications are blocked, like when Palpatine is talking to them on Naboo, like it gets all squiggly and like, I don't know. It fascinates me that they use it so much and it just doesn't seem to be the best technology that they have.
Well, I actually think they do that on purpose because, you know, it's in a galaxy far, far away, but it's also reminding us of things that we have in our own galaxy. So it's kind of reminiscent of, this is a long time ago, so this is in the past, an ancient technology so far away, but we don't have it yet kind of thing.
Right, yeah.
Like a lived-in universe, but, you know, when Palpatine's on it and the Phantom Menace... And then it gets all warped and messed up. And then C.O. Bibble says, you know, it can only mean invasion, like a communications disruption.
Disruption could only mean one thing, invasion.
Right. Yeah. And so it would be kind of like when we have a problem when we're recording and there's some kind of interference or something or interruption of the connection, you know?
Right. Yeah.
But anyway, so this holo transmission, holo call is pretty important.
Oh, yeah. They are talking to Obi-Wan, and Obi-Wan gives us some great information that really pieces this episode into Revenge of the Sith. You have every idea, like there are no question as to where this episode takes place during the events of Revenge of the Sith. And we are in Revenge of the Sith now. We're not leading up to it because in the last episode, you know, they mentioned that Anakin and Obi-Wan are going to go rescue the Chancellor. So we all know that that's before Revenge of the Sith. But now we are right there in the middle of Revenge of the Sith.
Correct. This episode takes place during Revenge of the Sith because the previous episode, Anakin joined the Jedi Council, but Obi-Wan has not gone to Utapau yet.
Right.
So the next episode will probably feature Order 66. Which, not wanting to see, kind of wanting to see.
I'm not ready.
I'm not ready either.
I said that in our preview episode.
Oh, yeah.
I am not ready.
Quote, unquote, way back when.
Order 66. We are 10 weeks later, and I am still not ready.
No, but see, it's like when we watched The Rise of Skywalker, and, you know, I wasn't ready, but I was ready at the same time. It was kind of weird, like, both at the same time.
Yeah. I get that, especially with Rise. Like, there was so much hype, and there was so much, yeah, I, All right.
So, back to Obi-Wan's transmission.
They're asking what information... They're asking who Darth Sidious is, because Maul had mentioned Darth Sidious, and that was a new name for Ahsoka and company.
Oh, right. That's where she says, are you going to be the one that rules the galaxy? And he says, no, Darth. And then he has this shudder.
Yes.
And then he says Sidious, because, you know, I think he's remembering his past with Sidious and the torture he put him through.
But no, so Obi-Wan explains that the Council suspects that Darth Sidious is the Sith Lord who orchestrated the Clone Wars and has been playing both sides since the very beginning.
Right.
And then he goes on to tell them that he wants Maul captured because Count Dooku is dead and Dooku was the only link they had to finding more information about Darth Sidious. And Ahsoka questions about Dooku's death.
Right. So for me, when Obi-Wan tells Ahsoka that Dooku is dead, Dooku was their only link to try to understand who might be behind all of this. And Ahsoka says, why can't you talk to him again? And he says, he's dead because Anakin killed him during a fight. You can see the facial expression on Ahsoka's face changes dramatically, almost like she did not expect that. She didn't think Anakin would do that or something like that would happen. It was surreal for me to hear Obi-Wan definitively announced that Dooku was dead, because we know from Revenge of the Sith that he's killed by Anakin, but at that point, Obi-Wan has been knocked out. He doesn't see that happen. He's laying there unconscious with that balcony on him. You know, he doesn't get to see Anakin actually decapitate Dooku.
Right.
So we never actually got to see Obi-Wan's reaction to learning that Anakin had killed Dooku. And so I think it's really interesting how they made his facial expressions where we could kind of tell he's disturbed about it. He's not sure what to do about that and how to process that emotionally. I just like that they added that extra layer of what we didn't get to see in Revenge of the Sith.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was a great moment. It was a great moment for both of them. It was a great moment for those two characters together as well. Like, because Obi-Wan and Ahsoka don't get to have many moments together, you know, like Ahsoka's always with Anakin or Obi-Wan's always with Anakin, you know, like Anakin's kind of always in the middle there. But like, yes, this is about Anakin, but it's their moment.
Right. And she gets to that point where he essentially tells Ahsoka that Anakin's on a special mission to spy on the Chancellor. And she says that that's something that the Chancellor wouldn't like because he's a big mentor to Anakin. And I like that Obi-Wan mentions his vulnerability here and that he says the Council isn't always right. That's why he's asking Ahsoka for help. I like that because it showed us that, yeah, he's always by the rules, but in this case, he's not quite sure whether that was the right decision to have Anakin on that special assignment to go to, you know, follow Palpatine and try to spy on him, essentially. That may not have turned out well.
Yeah, Obi-Wan wants Ahsoka to talk to Anakin, but then Rex interrupts them saying that they have to go.
Right.
And they have this, oh my God, I love it. She just like, so she goes to go and then she looks back at Obi-Wan and she goes, tell Anakin. And he just goes, I will. And my heart just like sunk. I was like, oh my God.
Okay. So let's pause here because I was a little confused here. I'm going to be honest.
Why?
I don't know what she meant or.
What do you mean?
She says, tell Anakin. And then he says, I will. But tell Anakin what?
Obi-Wan wanted her to talk to Anakin.
Okay.
About everything, about this whole thing going on with the Chancellor and yada, yada, yada. Okay? Like, Obi-Wan wanted Ahsoka's help with Anakin, basically.
Yeah, I get that.
Because, you know, through the entire Clone Wars, they have formed a relationship. Not a romantic one, but, you know, like, they trust each other. They can see parts of each other that other people can't see, like even Obi-Wan. So I took it as he just wanted help with Anakin because Anakin's resistant to spy on the Chancellor.
I get that, but the line doesn't seem to make sense to me.
Ahsoka even says, you know, you want me to defend the Jedi Council? I can't do that.
Uh-huh.
But, like I said, the way I took it, Obi-Wan wanted Ahsoka's help, but then Rex came and needed the help. So, basically, I don't know if Obi-Wan is just gonna be like, hey, listen, I talked to Ahsoka, she thinks she should do this.
Okay, you see, but that's where my confusion arises. It seems like she pauses, and there's confusion on her face, and he looks down for a second, and she says, tell Anakin, and he says, I will. And I'm like, tell him what? What are you gonna tell him? I was very confused.
that she supports him.
I guess that's supposed to be implied, but it wasn't very clear to me. Like, tell Anakin I'll talk to him when I'm done with this. Tell Anakin I love him. Tell Anakin it's going to be okay. You know, what was she, you know, trying to say?
I mean, I think love is a little much. I mean, she does, but, like, not like that.
I agree, but that's why the one part of this episode where I was like, what was she trying to say? Yes, I understand it being interrupted with Rex and all that, but what was she trying to say? And how did Obi-Wan know what she was really trying to say? Maybe that's what it was. Maybe he already knew what she wanted to say, but she didn't have to verbalize it, kind of like when Ben said that to Han in The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, I think I just took it as, I don't know, like she wants to help Anakin, or like, you know, she wants to say something to Anakin, but now she's got this war to fight. I don't know. I thought it was a cool moment. I liked it.
I mean, I agree. I just need more context and information because it doesn't make sense to me as to what is it that she's trying to say. That's why I had the confusion, because the way that they animated her and the way that her facial expressions were, all of this looked like I was waiting for her to spit out another word, but she didn't. And so I was a little confused. I thought it was a really cool moment and I wanted it to be, you know, like really impactful, but it didn't really make me understand where she was going with that, what she was wanting to say, and then she got cut off. You know, maybe it's supposed to be somewhat of a mystery. Maybe we'll find out later what she wanted to say, maybe. Maybe later on in the next episode, she says something to the effect of she's talking to Rex and she wanted to tell Anakin XYZ this thing one more time, but we haven't had the chance because of this happening or something. I don't know.
Right, because she says in Rebels, the last time I saw him, he was running off to save the Chancellor. So she never got that reconnection moment.
Yeah. Maybe this is another, you know, pulling at your heartstrings that she's still wanting to say something, but again, she was interrupted and wasn't able to.
Yeah, that works.
You know, I don't know. I guess we could take it that way. I will. Let's just go with that.
You know, like I said, it didn't, I don't know. Maybe I didn't think enough about it. I thought it was a really cool moment. I liked it. And yeah, for him not being in this episode, his presence was definitely felt in this episode.
Yes, absolutely. For sure.
I don't know if it's because it's during Revenge of the Sith or whatever, but his presence was definitely felt in this episode.
See, when something like that happens, when someone cuts off another person and says something, you know, like that whole exchange where when Ben Solo and Han have that interaction in The Rise of Skywalker, Ben Solo's trying to spit out the words, I love you, but then Han Solo says, I know. That was understandable because it was in the context of that moment and it was a connection to The Empire Strikes Back. That's what I'm saying. Like, this one didn't make any sense because there is no real connection with Obi-Wan and Ahsoka. There is no line that we can go back to. This wasn't an I love you, I know. This wasn't a, it just felt so strange. It's kind of hard for me to understand.
So Rex brings Ahsoka to Sterling, who had just been attacked by Maul, and Sterling explains that he was looking for Ahsoka, that he took a trooper named Jesse as a hostage.
Right, the ARC trooper Jesse, which has very close ties to Rex and Echo and the other ARC troopers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's the one with the big Galactic Republic tattoo on his head.
Yes, yeah, no, I knew that. I didn't realize I just knew he was one of the named ones.
Yeah, he's one of the original brother ARC troopers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Maul took Jesse alive, and so I was expecting some kind of torture scene after knowing that was going to happen.
Well, we kind of get one.
Yeah, we did, kind of.
We do. I mean, it wasn't torture, but it was like Kylo Ren type torture.
Yeah, the Kylo Ren memory invasion mind probe technique that Maul uses on Jesse, the extracting of the information from an unwilling and non-consenting individual is kind of like, to me, it's kind of like the opposite of Jedi mind trick, or maybe perhaps in the same vein. One is deception, whereas the other is what comes to mental assault, because he said your mind will speak or it will break.
Right.
And we saw this actually in a very early Clone Wars episode where Mace Windu and Anakin and Obi-Wan do this to Cad Bane, the bounty hunter, to try to extract information, and it terrifies the crap out of Ahsoka.
Yes. Okay. I remember that now.
Yeah. And so that's what I thought of here. And to me, and maybe to you as well, Snoke's and Kylo's methods in The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi are even more impactful and meaningful because as followers who practice the dark side, it broadens our understanding of this mysterious and violent power, because it must be incredibly painful for ARC Trooper Jesse, maybe the chip in the head that Maul's able to access to see Order 66, to learn about Anakin and Ahsoka, and including their relationship and leaving the Jedi Order. Otherwise, he really wouldn't have gotten that info.
But later on, they say that he had a vision.
Well, yeah, he had a vision, but maybe more information being extracted about Ahsoka,
right,
from ARC Trooper Jesse's head. He wanted to know who she is and what her relation is to Anakin and all that.
I didn't even think of that he got the Order 66 information from the chip.
I mean, I guess it's possible.
It's very possible. See, I just assumed he had because they talk about a vision later, which we'll get to. But I assumed he had another vision where he saw Sidious enacted or something in the clones. Because, I mean, he definitely knows what's going on. Actually, that's the next thing. We cut to Maul and he's talking about the plan and the only plan that matters.
The plan.
And that, you know, he used to be an apprentice and then he was cast aside and he was forgotten. But he knows that his time is coming because in the chaos that's about to come, he knows that he can thrive during this time.
Right.
So Maul sends Saxon, who is the Maul DeLorean, as we call him,
mm-hmm,
to make sure that the Prime Minister of Mandalore does not become an asset for Ahsoka and the clones.
Right. Almec, the Prime Minister.
Yes. After Saxon leaves, that's when Maul does the mind probe, the Kylo mind probe, as I call it.
Yep.
On ARC Trooper Jesse. And then you actually see, you hear the scream at the shot is Saxon walking out of the room and you hear the scream.
Right. And I thought that was a really cool detail there, that when Maul's Mandalorians, or Maldalorians, how we call them now,
mm-hmm,
when they put on the helmets, the light in the visor turns on.
Yeah, did it always do that?
No, only when it's on their heads.
I like that. I think it's cool.
It's a small little detail, but definitely really cool.
And we're assuming Saxon is the leader of them. I mean, I know Maul's the leader, but he's kind of the head trooper or whatever. Is that why he has the horns? Not everybody has the horns.
Well, he modeled them, of course, after Maul, because he's the one who breaks Maul out of prison in the Son of Dathomir comics.
Yeah, okay.
And that prison is the prison he was put in by Sidious, and when Sidious took Dooku as his apprentice.
Yeah, I really side tangent here, but it actually relates to this. I kind of wish either we got 16 episodes or a little more, because say you're watching just the Clone Wars series, the last time we saw Maul was when Sidious kidnapped him.
Yeah, he was torturing him with Sith lightning.
And now all of a sudden, you know, he's back and he's on Mandalore and yada, yada, yada. I kind of wish I know they did it in a comic and I believe there's some of it in the Ahsoka novel also, but I kind of wish they had adapted the Son of Dathomir comic for episodes of the Clone Wars, just to kind of bridge more of the continuity, you know?
Yeah, I understand and I agree. There are these multiple different mediums that they didn't use in the actual animation. So like you said, Son of Dathomir comics, we have the Ahsoka novel, and there's also the Dark Disciple novel with Ventress and Quinlan Vos.
Oh.
And that's where we see Marg Krim, the Pike Leader. All of that, they've kind of done what they did with Legends or with the Expanded Universe and then made the sequel trilogies. They've taken pieces here and there to make it fit in the way that they want it to be now in current canon.
Right.
So they haven't done exactly what the books or comics have said or done. They've kind of merged them together and picked out the parts that they like to use. And I wanted to side note back to Maul here. His desperation, I think, in this episode is palpable thanks to Sam Witwer.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
He knows, note for note, how all this is going to take place. He knows he has zero chance of returning to Sidious' side. He is making his own stronghold, potentially within the Empire, perhaps to subvert Sidious, or at least stay alive, with some modicum of power. So it's kind of an on-brand move for his character. As I mentioned before, his rage is just so subdued here, and I can't tell if it's out of fear for Palpatine, or recognizing he's lost the war, or both. I mean, you can see it in his conversation with Ahsoka later. The dude is just losing it. He's just trying to figure out what to do in order to survive for himself.
Well, yeah, because his plan, and we'll get to this in a little bit, but his plan was to bring Kenobi and Skywalker to Mandalore so that Anakin doesn't turn to the dark side and Maul kills him himself, which deprives Sidious of his apprentice.
Right. It deprives Sidious of his favorite key chess piece on his chessboard.
Yes, that he's been grooming this whole time to be his apprentice.
Right.
And yeah, like, so, like, the whole idea of, which I thought that was a nice tying everything together, like, he started this thing on Mandalore to lure Obi-Wan, not just because he wants to kill Obi-Wan, but to get Anakin away from Sidious, just to kind of get even with Sidious.
Right.
And, you know, take some kind of power away from him, because, as he said before, the dark side is stronger than it's ever been.
Yeah, he said exactly that. He could feel it. He could feel it coming to a T, and that's why we have the red Clone Wars logo, and we have, you know, like, this is it, they're telling us. The dark side has never been stronger. I feel like the amount of foreshadowing and the connectivity to Revenge of the Sith in this episode really shows in this season that it really and truly is the end of the Clone Wars.
Yes.
Because I love we see that Maul is dreading what is about to occur, and the other characters are oblivious to what is about to happen. They still think this is a war they can win.
Right.
And I know I'm kind of skipping ahead and I bounce back and forth and that's fine. I felt some sadness and remorse from Maul because how he's been used and abused most of his life. They're treating him now like he's going insane, which he kind of is, for his predictions and visions. Yet we, as the audience, we all know he's right.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, I mean, there's a quote somewhere about, like, about insanity and how sometimes, you know, like, they're not insane. They actually know everything that's going on or whatever. And that's definitely Maul here. Like, and like you said, we, the audience, know that Maul knows exactly what's going on. And it's crazy to think about. But, you know, everyone else is treating him like you said, like he's going crazy. But he's really not, because he knows what's going to happen.
Right. And I really like that when you mentioned Almec, the Prime Minister, and Gar Saxon shoots him and kills him before he says anything to Ahsoka. They went into that prison cell, and they wanted more information from him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ahsoka asks him if Maul has mentioned anything about Sidious, because he tells her that Maul's not trying to escape. And they're like, oh, well, he thinks he can win this war or beat us in this battle? And he's like, no, it's something else. He's been feeling this sense of dread for a long time now. And she mentions, did he say anything about Sidious? And he says, no.
Yeah, and then Saxon comes and shoots him, and Bo goes after Saxon.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, so then Ahsoka's there with Almec, right? That's his name, Almec?
Yes.
Okay. So Ahsoka is there with Almec, and he's dying. Like, you can tell he's dying. And he tells Ahsoka that Maul had a vision and that a name came to him. And Ahsoka's like, what name? And similar to Yoda in Return of the Jedi, you know, he goes, like, Skywalker, and, like, he dies.
Yes, exactly.
And is drawn out as Yoda's was, because I'll admit, for the longest time, I did not even know what Yoda said when he died. Like, I always heard Sky, but for some reason, I didn't hear the Walker part.
I was the same way.
And I really, like, I never knew. And the only thing I got on it was when Luke goes out and then talks to Obi-Wan, and okay, Leia's a sister, blah, 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 blah. But, like, I never understood that Yoda said, there is another Skywalker, just because of how drawn out it was.
Right.
But this definitely reminded me of that moment from Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, we get that great reference. I think it was an homage or an echo to Yoda saying that and passing into the Force in that hut on Dagobah. But there's also, if you listen real closely, a rendition of the Imperial March playing.
Yes.
When Vader died in Return of the Jedi.
Uh-huh.
That was playing when Almec dies.
Yeah, okay. All right, yes.
And they also played that again when Rey goes into the throne room of the Death Star in The Rise of Skywalker.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And I don't know, it's just that music.
I love that.
Brings a ton of emotions to me.
Yeah, it's some of my favorite.
It really, really is good, and I love that they included that.
Particularly in Rise of Skywalker, when Rey, you know, she's in the ruins of the throne room, and you get that music, like, oh, it just...
Yeah, it pulls at your heartstrings.
I just love it. Kevin Kiner is, like, repurposing the music for Clone Wars, like... And yeah, the original compositions are John Williams, of course.
Right. I also wanted to mention that when Maul is down in the tunnel still with the Mandalorians of his, he has a holo transmission or a holo call with the crime syndicate leaders.
Maul is telling the crime syndicate leaders to go into hiding. And we see Marge Krim. And we see, now to me, my immediate thought was Prince Xizor from Shadows of the Empire. But upon further research, I found out it is not Prince Xizor. It is Zaitan Moj.
Okay.
Is the leader of the Black Sun crime syndicate. And then this is the one that I was really proud of, because I'm looking at the other guy and I'm thinking to myself, well, to me, it looks like General Hux, but I know it's not General Hux because General Hux is not even born at this point. And I'm wondering, maybe it's Drayden Voss. And sure enough, from Solo, A Star Wars Story. And sure enough, I look it up online. Boom. That's who it was. And I was very proud of myself.
Yes, as am I. It is Drayden Voss. And it's interesting to me that they used the same photo still of Drayden Voss that they have on the website at StarWars.com. And they animated it into this episode where he has his hand up to his chin.
Yeah.
It's exactly frame for frame, same position.
That's awesome.
Which I thought that was great. I mean, when I saw that, he's definitely talking to crime syndicate leaders, so there's got to be Crimson Dawn, and there it is.
Well, yeah, and it was funny, because like I said, like my first initial reaction was like, that looks like Hux. And then I'm like, no. And then the same thing in my brain, I'm like, okay, crime syndicates, we've got the Pikes, and we've got the Black Sun. I'm like, oh, maybe it's Drayden Voss, and yep. Actually, in my notes, I write Black Sun, and then another guy, maybe Drayden Voss, possible question mark, and then next to it I wrote confirmed by Wikipedia. Thank you, Wikipedia.
There's also that action sequence we see that echoes Revenge of the Sith in the elevator shaft with Bo-Katan and Gar Saxon fighting.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, it was a short scene, wasn't one of my top in this episode, but that reminds me of Revenge of the Sith, so I liked it.
I like the Gungan shield that she has. It's not a Gungan shield, but like it reminds me of that, you know?
Like a force field shield for a Mandalorian.
Yeah, like it totally reminds me of the, what are they, boobas or something? Boobas? No, not boba. It can't be boba because you wouldn't have something that sounds like a character. Or are the boobas those big blue balls or something?
I think the boombas are the big balls.
All right.
Shaja, use him the booba!
He said don't have a booba!
Yeah, take him this one.
Anyway, it was cool to see that. I remember that from Sabine in Star Wars Rebels, that shield that she uses.
Yes. Okay.
She had that, and it was actually gifted to her.
Mm.
And that's actually where Sabine and Ursa, her mother, in that episode, she kills Gar Saxon when he's part of the Empire at that point, but he's taken over Mandalore.
Oh my God, it's the same guy.
Yeah, it is.
Holy shit! Wow. See, that's how much I pay attention. Good thing I'm a host of a Star Wars podcast, everybody. Wow.
Right?
Yeah, you're right. Holy shit, you're right. Wow. Dude, did you see my brain explode just then?
No, I didn't see it, but I heard it.
Wow. Oh, yeah, right, because we don't do video. Yes.
Okay, no, we do
it.
Not.
That's what I meant to say. Wow. And here I'm all proud of myself with Drayden Voss, and I didn't even...
Mm. It's Drayden Voss, wow. But it's okay. You tried. Well, what happens next? Let's see. Okay, so at that point, Maul is talking to the crime syndicates, and he stops that holocall, and he tells him to go into hiding. Knowing what's about to come to pass, Maul turns around and starts talking to his Mandalorians, his group, Death Watch. You know, that splinter of Death Watch that's under Maul's control.
Yes.
And he's talking to them about how they're not going to die in the gutters. They're a proud people. They are Mandalorians, you know, and he promises them that they will die on the field of battle and they will die honorably and as warriors.
Yes. The dark side has never been stronger. Soon the galaxy will be remade, and in the chaos, we must seize what power we can.
So he's kind of setting them up where they start cheering and, you know, they're happy that they're going to actually be able to do something that is a part of their culture and a part of their background and being proud of it. And they do have to die. It's going to be on the field of battle. So he's kind of getting his soldiers riled up for the next part of the battle.
Yes, he's rallying them up. Yep.
And then later, he, remember what he does?
He's like, because Saxon is like, sir, we need backup. Sir, we need help. Yada, yada. He's like, yeah, goodbye. That's not what he says. But like, he's on his way out and he's like, you know, no, have fun. What does he say?
I don't remember exactly what he says, but essentially.
But yeah, no, it was just great because like, he's in the middle of his fight with Ahsoka and he's just like, No, goodbye.
He follows through on his promise, though, right? They died as warriors on the field of battle.
Well, that's true.
He did.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of saw that coming, but when I heard him say that, it's not like he's lying.
Right.
Which is actually kind of funny, because then in Mandalorian, we actually do see them living in the gutters and hiding.
That's true.
You know, in the tunnels, this is the way. That's their way now, to hide in the tunnels, out of sight, out of mind.
That's very true.
So I guess they weren't in the gutters for a little while.
Right, for a little while. You know, for like 5 minutes.
And then a few years for, you know, until the Empire took over, and then back in the gutters.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're going to go ahead and take a short break here. We're going to go empty our bladders, refill our drinks, and I suggest maybe you guys, if you need a break, go ahead and take it as well. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Jawa Jabber. All right, everybody, welcome back to the second part of our episode, where after that little break we had, we were just talking about what was going on in the final part of episode 10. And I thought over the break that it was interesting to me that Rex still does not have that scar on the side of his head. We see a profile of his head in this episode, and there's no scar that we see him have in Rebels. So it'll be interesting to me, at least, if we see him maybe be able to resist the chip and not try to kill Jedi like he says in Rebels.
Yeah, I have a little theory about that.
All right, what's your theory?
Just that, I mean, I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but like how they get Maul at the end, mm-hmm. and they're flying off with Maul. I kind of think, because he's freaking out and whatever, I think that's when Order 66 is going to happen. Like, while Maul is in the custody of all these clones, and that he might have to fight off the clones or something, and maybe Rex gets his scar during that tussle or something.
Hmm.
I don't know. It's an initial thought. Like, for some reason, when Ahsoka is holding him there with the Force, and Rex and everybody fly up, and the other ship disappears, which we'll talk about. But for some reason, I don't know, like, the way Maul reacted, like, it just, in my head, it seemed like he knew Order 66 was coming. He knew it was coming very, very soon, and he does not want to be near those clones.
Yeah, I have a completely different take, but we'll get there.
Okay. Yeah, like, I don't know. I just, that was where my brain leapt to.
Yeah, that's possible. I mean, it's a good theory. It could definitely happen that way. But I like how the clones who are resisting their programming would be a fitting way to end the series, since the Clone Wars has spent years humanizing the clones.
Yes.
And if Rex could somehow, you know, because it's Rex, Gregor, and Wolf, all of them take their chips out at some point because they're all alive in Rebels.
Now, which is the one? Is Rex the one that's in Return of the Jedi?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right.
I'm not sure about the other two, but Wolf had gone a little crazy.
Okay.
He has that scar over his eye. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to me to see whether or not, or how that actually happens. Because we know they have to bridge that, mm-hmm. somehow, and how they're going to do that is going to be potentially, like you said, very surprising that we didn't see coming. Or maybe you saw it coming.
Right. Yeah.
And one more thing before we move on. There was a scene where we have Ahsoka and Bo-Katan, and they're looking out over the Mandalorian people, over the city of Sundari of Mandalore. And they're seeing all these people who live there, and some of them are protesting. Some of them are just being rounded up to be taken to shelters and safe areas, mm-hmm. because there's a battle going on, right?
Yeah.
And I immediately, the clone troopers rounding up the Mandalorians, like the people, not the fighters, it reminded me a lot of Rebels. And they even had a regular clone trooper in one of the scenes mixed in with the ones who had painted their armor like Ahsoka's markings. And I think that was a hint. I may be wrong, but to me it was a hint that they never left Sindari after Order 66 was enacted. You know, after they invade, the Republic became the Empire, and then the remaining clones became stormtroopers eventually, which we see later in Rebels.
Right.
Even in Mandalore, they've taken over Mandalore. The Empire's taken over. So Rex even mentions in that scene where Bo-Katan says this occupation can't go on for long, Rex says, my men don't want to be acting as a police force. They don't want to stay there any much than she wants them to stay there. I think that's a bit of a foreshadowing there.
And then Ahsoka says, as soon as we have Maul, the Republic forces will leave, so...
Well, kind of, yeah. But then later on, we know that the Empire does the Great Purge.
Well, right. No, exactly.
So they don't really leave.
Right, but from their point of view right then, you know, because obviously Ahsoka doesn't know what's going on. And I think you're right. I think, yeah, like, they're just never going to leave Mandalore.
Yeah, the occupation of the Empire is being foreshadowed here by, you know, it just felt like, you know, move along, citizen, move to your safe, restricted zone or whatever. Mm-hmm. It felt very much like Rebels.
Yeah. No, that,
it gave me that vibe.
That's a good point. I like that. I agree.
So like you said, it actually leads into the next scene where they're walking away from looking out over the city. And then once Maul leaves, Ahsoka says that they'll all leave.
Mm-hmm. And then they go into the palace.
Into the throne room. Yep.
What is it? And I love it, so I'm not complaining. What is it with Star Wars and throne rooms?
Because they're epic and awesome.
Right? I was just going to say, because they're epic or something? Like, it's just, I mean, so many times, but I don't care. Like, that's all I want is the throne room scene. Snoke in The Last Jedi. Even the one in The Rise of Skywalker. You know, with the remnants of the throne room. The throne room in Return of the Jedi. I always, in my head, in Revenge of the Sith, the scene when Palpatine fights off Mace Windu and stuff, to me, that counts as a throne room scene, too.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Because Palpatine's office, and he kind of turns around, and he's in that chair and everything, and he has the Death Star plans on his computer.
Yep.
Took me years to notice. I noticed that a couple years ago. I was like, oh, wow, that's awesome. I'm like, he's totally looking at the Death Star. To me, that's a throne room scene. The Naboo throne room.
I think throne rooms, if we really want to dive in deeper and dissect it at some point in the future, I think it's probably a lot more meaningful than just because it's epic. I think it's probably something to do with Joseph Campbell and kings and royalty and the mythos blending in with what we know Star Wars to be.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, I like it. Episode 47 of Jawa Jabber. The emphasis of thrones in the Star Wars universe.
So, kind of set up for our listeners when they walk into the throne room now, which was the throne room for Satine before she was killed by Maul.
So, they walk into the throne room, and who's there but Maul, looking all badass, sitting on the throne. I just love the way he's animated here. Just the way he's so casually sitting on there, and he's got his foot up, and it just... I don't know, like, it was so badass, like, he just, and then, Jesse is down there, like, on the floor, like, in handcuffs, but, like, it just, I don't know, and it was, like, the lighting was so dark, and it just, it made his red glow a little bit more for me, and I loved the way he looked as they came in.
Well, yeah, I think they animated, like you said, his leg being up, it was very much a natural pose.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yes.
You know, like what a king would do if someone walks into the throne room. They're not going to be sitting upright, you know, like a stick up their butt. They're relaxing. This is mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the rightful ruler.
Right. Bo-Katan is not happy about that.
Yeah, that he's the rightful leader of Mandalore.
Well, first she starts running and shooting at him because she's not happy at all.
That was, oh my God. And yeah, like just how casual he like blocks the blasts and everything. Oh my God. It was so good. I just, it's Star Wars. That's what I wanted. This is what I have wanted from Clone Wars from the beginning.
You know what that reminded me of when Maul was deflecting the blasts?
It reminded me of Snoke.
Oh, really? That's right.
In The Last Jedi, when he's just kind of... Now, I mean, I know Snoke didn't have his foot up, but, like, the hand motions, like, how he was just kind of, mm-hmm. like...
Yeah.
Waving Rey, and then Rey goes flying across the room. You know what I mean? Like, it just... I don't know. That's what it reminded me of. It reminded me of Snoke.
That's a great connection. That's not what I was going for, actually.
Really?
Yeah. It is the hand motions. I could definitely see Snoke doing that. But the deflecting of the laser bolts, I think Kylo, when he stops the laser bolt in The Force Awakens...
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right.
He doesn't quite deflect it, but he's showing that force power to be able to stop it or to move something that's dangerous out of the way that's coming at you, and then later he lets it go. But I think that's the first time we saw a character do that, and then later we saw Snoke throwing Rey around or the lightsaber like it was no big deal, which I think all kind of connected for them to make Maul do this in this last season.
Right, or with Vader on The Empire Strikes Back.
Yes.
When Han's shooting at him, you know, same type thing.
I think that actually makes contact, though, because that hits his hand and he blocks it.
Yes, you're correct. Yes, that one actually, yes, because it kind of like bounces off his hand.
But still, it's reminiscent of the same kind of thing.
It's the evolution of the power.
And then Maul force chokes Bo-Katan and lifts her up. I saw the parallel when he did that to Satine, her sister.
Really?
Yeah, he choked her, picked her up in front of Obi-Wan, and then he killed her with the Darksaber.
Like, I mean, I remember him killing her and stuff.
It was the same throne room. It was the same place. You know, obviously choking her neck, that right. makes sense. But she was being lifted up in the same position. I thought it was an interesting parallel.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, I didn't. Okay, I like that.
And then he lets her go.
And then he returns Jesse to Rex. Because Rex is there. Don't forget Rex is there, too. But, like, you know, he's like, here's your, as promised, your returned soldier or whatever he says. Like, he says something weird.
He says, out of a measure of good faith, I will return your brother or something, too. And I like how he says, as if he's kind of letting a kid go back to their parents. Like, go back to your brothers, run along.
Yes, yep.
And I kind of felt that way, that it was kind of creepy. But I also like that, in my mind, it reminded me of Maul way back when on Dathomir. When he had his own brothers and how he was taken away from them.
Right.
And I almost feel like Maul is maybe reliving that part of his past and, you know, saying, go back to your brothers. I wish I could do the same, but they're gone.
Okay. Yeah.
Because, you know, he's obviously wrestling with a lot of emotions and things in his mind and what he knows is coming. And I just feel like bravo for Clone Wars, for a cartoon animated series to make me feel for a character like Maul.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's great.
You know? It's just one of those things where who would have ever thought that we would get to this point where I would feel sorry for Maul?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That,
in a way.
It just goes to show you the layers that this show gives to the prequel trilogy. You know, like it really, it takes its time and it develops these characters. And I was saying this in the other episodes, like you get a little bit more of Anakin and Padme. You get more Obi-Wan and Anakin. Like, you know, it makes you understand these characters' motivations a little more than you get out of the three films.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, and then I liked this scene, how all this is going on, and then like the bombs start going out the window, and Maul looks at Bo and is like, don't you want to attend to that or something?
Yeah, he says something like, somebody might want to go address that.
That's what it is, yeah. And he just, like, the way he said it, and even the animation, like, he just had that sarcastic look in his face, and he's like, it seems like Bo is resistant to go because of Ahsoka, and Ahsoka's like, no, go. Like, you know, I can handle this. And then Maul almost even assures Bo that, you know, it's okay, like, you know, we're fine or whatever, you know, like, I got a weird, like, you got the notion that Maul wanted to be alone with Ahsoka, but, like, it was like, you know, he was like, you know, Bo wanted to help and, you know, he's like, no, I'm not going to hurt her in a way, you know, like, it was, I don't know.
Well, see, I felt like he was continuing with a bit of the sarcasm, like, don't wait on my account, just go and take care of that. You're not going to be the one I really need to talk to right now or fight later. It's something like, go address that business out there because we have something here that we need to talk about that you have nothing to do with.
Right. But yeah, and Maul is trying. So once Bo and Rex leave, Maul's trying to get information out of Ahsoka.
Yep.
He wants to know about Ahsoka's past. And he says a really great thing here. I think he sees part of himself in Ahsoka because he says they were both tools used by greater powers.
Yes.
And that hit home to me because it's true. I mean, especially from Maul's point of view, what little he knows, like he knows that she's not in the Jedi Order anymore and whatever. But, you know, the Jedi Order was using Ahsoka. Sidious used him.
Yep.
And, you know, she says something about wanting justice. You know, like she's here to get justice. Right. And he says, justice is merely the construct of the current power base, which, according to my calculations, is about to change.
That was a great line.
Oh, my God, dude. It, like, it just hit home. I'm like, oh, my God, this is, like, right in the middle of, like, this is it. This is Sidious taking over. It's funny. This is a great moment, but it always makes me laugh when the villain just talks and talks and talks and talks and talks. You know, like, they're not fighting. They're just, you know, like, it's almost like they're explaining the plan. But yeah, and then, so then he says, Darth Sidious is behind everything, in the shadows always, but very soon he will reveal himself.
Right.
The time of the Jedi have passed. They cannot defeat Sidious, but together, you and I can. And here we go again. With the dark side trying to woo someone over. Like, give Star Wars credit. I mean, they are literally doing the exact same thing 20,000 different ways, and we eat this shit up.
We sure do.
You know, like, it just, I mean, it was Vader, it was Kylo, he even extends the hand.
Yes, he did.
Just, I mean, I know, and it's weird, because with the extending hand thing, I automatically go to Kylo.
Right.
Like, I have to remind myself that, you know, Vader held his hand out, too. There's that iconic picture of him with his hand out. But for some reason, I never think of that. Like, I always go right to Kylo.
Yeah, I do the exact same thing.
And The Last Jedi and the please, you know, you're holding on! That whole
right.
thing. Like, I just, I, like, my brain goes right there, even though I know Vader did it first.
Well, it's probably the thing that's freshest in our minds, which is why we think of it.
Yet another parallel for Vader and Kylo. Oh, I love it. It's so genius.
You know, what I thought was really interesting in this whole entire scene was that it felt very natural to me that Maul would seek out Ahsoka as a partner, you know, due to their shared history and mutual past. Like you said, they were pawns. They weren't the ones who were in charge. They had people kind of like puppet masters controlling them, whether they recognize it or not. Mm-hmm. Now they do. But I also just really like that in this case, you know, you had Kylo, Rey, Maul, Ahsoka. None of these characters are fully Jedi or fully Sith. They're all in like a flux, a state of flux between two sides. There's the extending of the hand. We all remember Kylo, remember Vader, but it just seems like they're really kind of pushing at the fact that neither of them are actually fully on one side or the other in this quote-unquote gray area in the middle. And so to have her, you know, team up with him, I have to be honest. She said yes for a moment, but it was a team up that was rooting for, but I knew that it was never going to happen.
Well, that was going to be my question to you, actually. I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to ask you about your opinion, not what she answers with, but just the fact that she so quickly said yes.
Well, it wasn't super quick. There was that explosion of the window in that slow motion.
Well, yeah, but that was just set dressing.
But that was amazing.
Yeah.
You could see her kind of thinking it over during the slow motion part, and then she says, I'll help you. And then she just has one question for him.
Oh, and the question, where my heart sunk.
I know you've been waiting a long time for this.
I have been waiting this whole podcast for this. But yeah, no, so she, you know, she says, I'll help you, but she wants to know one thing. What do you want with Anakin Skywalker? Ugh! Oh my God. And then it was, because like, his response, it was great. Like, it made me, this whole thing has made me, like, rethink everything. Like, what if Anakin had gone to Mandalore? Mm. Nothing as we know it would be the same.
Like an alternate universe.
You know? Like,
well, you're correct. So, like, one parallel, or I guess something that I thought of here was the whole title of this episode, right? The Phantom Apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, I thought it's a play on words for the Phantom Menace. Right. I thought Maul. It's probably Maul. But then I'm obviously thinking in my head, no, it's not.
Nope.
I think it's applying to all three of them. And let me explain.
Okay.
Maul and Ahsoka are their own Ronins, if you will. They're wandering space wizard samurai without a lord or master. They're existing outside of the traditional Jedi and Sith orders.
Yeah.
They're at the fringes of the Star Wars saga, like phantoms. Maul says, we were both tools for greater powers. Now, obviously, you know what I'm getting at. At this point, we know that the one who hasn't been in this episode is the Phantom Apprentice.
Right. Yeah.
But I think it also applies to Maul and Ahsoka, because not only was she an apprentice, he was an apprentice, and in some way now, neither of them are.
I like that.
They're no one's apprentice. So I think it really ties it all together in this episode.
Right.
And just the title, it's not really referring to one specific person. We obviously agree that it is strongly hinting at Anakin, but I think it's nice that they connected it to multiple characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And then his next line, I just love, he is the key to everything. And it's true. Like, I mean, it's the Skywalker saga. It's his saga. Even though I know we lose him a little bit in the sequel trilogy, I know that. But like, in general, like if it had stayed just the six movies, it was totally Anakin's story.
Yes.
But, and then I love how he says, he has long been groomed for this role, my master's new apprentice. And then this is where we get into where we find out that that's the whole reason that Maul orchestrated this war on Mandalore, because he wanted Obi-Wan and Anakin to come here,
mm-hmm.
so Maul could kill him himself and then deprive Sidious of his apprentice.
Right. Everything Maul has done on Mandalore was that attempt to gain Anakin's attention, mm-hmm. to lure him into a trap, to be killed, to remove the most important piece on Palpatine's chessboard.
And it didn't work.
And it didn't work. And you know what? I've ran through my head of various scenarios, the what if.
Mm-hmm.
What if he did stop this somehow by killing Anakin? Or what might have happened? What is Sidious' backup plan? Would he have had a contingency plan? I mean, I'm sure he would have because he's Palpatine, but like, what would have happened in the rest of the galaxy? Would Order 66 still be the same? I would have to say probably no.
No, probably not.
Because then the whole march on the temple, the whole killing of the Jedi Padawans, the younglings, all the Jedi spread out in multiple systems, all of that was carefully orchestrated. But if any little thing went wrong, that's what's so amazing about the plan, is that it didn't. But had it gone wrong, how would we have seen these characters in a retrospective way?
It's fascinating to really think about.
It really is. And so, of course, we've hinted at it enough. Anakin is the Phantom Apprentice because Maul tells that to Ahsoka. But then what does Ahsoka do?
Ahsoka doesn't believe him.
Exactly.
And the animation there, like the look on her face is just pure disbelief.
Right, which is so crazy.
Right, like she knows him. She, you know, like she's fought alongside of him for how long is the Clone Wars? Like 3 years?
I don't know. I don't know the timeline, but a long time.
Yeah.
She's known him a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And before we get into the actual fight, there's a couple other things. Did you have anything else that you thought of in this moment you wanted to kind of share with our listeners?
I mean, the beginning of the fight. I think that was all I had. Did you have something else?
I also wanted to mention that this episode makes the moment in Star Wars Rebels when Ahsoka sees Anakin under the mask as Vader. I think it just makes that duel even more meaningful and emotional, because imagine being so confident that Anakin wouldn't turn and then having to end up fighting him to save your own life later. That's just wow. To me, that's something that she was so confident that Anakin's the good guy, right? That this could never happen. And yet later we find out that she actually does have to confront him, that she doesn't just put this in her past and forget about it. She has to confront him.
Yeah, but she didn't find out just then. She knew before, right?
Well, she didn't know Vader was Anakin until that point in Rebels.
Oh, that's right. That vision thing that she had.
Right. She cut open his mask, though, and she saw his eye.
That's when she found out. No, she found out before that.
Well, she could feel that Anakin was still alive in Rebels, but she didn't encounter and think Vader is Anakin until that moment. That's why it was such an epic moment when they fought.
Oh, okay. I mean, it was epic, yeah. I don't know. For some reason, I thought she figured it out before that.
No, that's why it was so, holy cow. She was like, Anakin, and he could see her, and you can see his eye, and he's breathing. And she says the whole line, like, I won't leave you this time, but we know it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we watch this 10 times, there's so much more depth to this.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible how much they put into this season.
Maul and Ahsoka in the tunnels. We always wanted Ahsoka to be lit. You light the character that's most important. You let everything else fall away. It's a rule that we have in lighting. And so Dave, going into that whole sequence, wanted to make sure that when Maul appears, he comes out of the darkness, and that Ahsoka is trapped. And she's trapped not just in a literal sense, but in a story sense.
What was interesting about working on this season was we had to go back to the Clone Wars Maul, who's a little bit more controlled and methodical than, say, the eccentric older Malachor Maul. Dave, because his live action experience was really directing more of a film read for me for Maul, which I really enjoyed. Because usually when it comes to voiceover for animation, you put a little bit more into the voice because that's all you got. You can't really just monotone your way through a performance. Whereas when we were doing Solo, you hold back on the voice a little bit. You're not as expressive because you're in the sort of live action world. And in this case, Dave wanted that sort of live action read for Maul.
These scenes with Maul were some of the most difficult scenes to record. This is a moment where Ahsoka is now on her own. She had to truly find her strength. I'm so thankful to the direction from Dave and thankful to have the time and the freedom and the space to really work on this scene, because it was truly one of the most emotional scenes of the entire season.
I always felt that Star Wars fights are all about the values of the two characters that are fighting, and that's what determines how the fight goes. And Maul is not at his best when he's fighting to save the galaxy, and Ahsoka is at her best when she's fighting to save her friend. What Clone Wars does, it sets up a join me scene where really the good guy or good girl should say yes, possibly. That was the really fun riff we have there, is that we haven't seen a join me scene where the bad guy actually has the better plan.
So Ahsoka is going to help Maul and then didn't believe Maul after he told her about Anakin being groomed as Sidious's pupil and apprentice. This set her off because she thought he was lying. She says, "You lie." And it reminded me of Dooku and Obi-Wan in Attack of the Clones, because Dooku tells Obi-Wan the same thing about Sidious.
Yeah, that's true.
He tells him the truth. He doesn't lie to him. And Obi-Wan's like, "No, you're lying." I mean, it wasn't as powerful in Attack of the Clones, but still.
Dooku didn't say one lie to him. Dooku flat out told him the truth. And I remember episode 2, I had to have been a senior in high school. And I remember sitting in the movie theater thinking, he literally just told him what's going on.
Yeah, but because he's on the quote-unquote dark side, on the separatist side,
right,
Obi-Wan wouldn't believe him.
I remember, like, even way back then being thrown, I'm like, he totally didn't lie there. Like, he, and Obi-Wan doesn't believe him. I'm like, he literally just told you exactly what's going on.
Exactly.
And Obi-Wan's like, "Well, no, that can't happen." And it's like, well, it kind of is, because I literally just told you.
Another great connection that I love that Dave Filoni put in this, and again, he's pulling at our heartstrings, but the Ahsoka and Maul parallel with Obi-Wan and Padme in Revenge of the Sith, where Obi-Wan tells Padme about Anakin, and she says, "No, that can't be true. That's not possible." You know, like, she knows Anakin, right? Anakin wouldn't kill younglings. Anakin wouldn't do what Obi-Wan was saying. And yet we find out that that's exactly true, and that's exactly what Anakin has done.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of hearkening back, I guess maybe forward, to the movie for Revenge of the Sith, and also way forward into Rebels. And like we've talked about in prior episodes, the weaving in of all the threads, the layers into this is just so masterfully done that taking a huge deep dive into it would probably just scratch the surface, quite honestly.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
I have a little quote from Screen Throws that gave a rating for this episode, a 5 out of 5. I just thought they really summed it up really nicely. He said, "Oh my Force, The Phantom Apprentice is complex storytelling brought to life with mind-blowing animation. You will constantly feel the dread of what is to come, knowing that our heroes cannot do anything to stop it." Because we know it's going to happen, but our characters don't.
Yeah.
Which is so much more nerve-wracking, because you know, you've seen this movie hundreds of times, if not more. You know exactly what's going to happen. Maul knows what's going to happen. Maybe the only character that does. Everyone else is kind of like, "Oh, we're winning this battle. We're good. We're going to take over Mandalore. We're going to capture Maul. We're moving on with the Clone Wars." And it's like, no, we're not. You guys are right on the precipice of this game, and you're going to die.
Yeah, no, and like I said, that was part of the thrilling part about the trilogy, or the prequel trilogy, because we all knew that Anakin was going to turn into Darth Vader.
Right.
Even in the marketing, like the teaser poster for episode 1
mm-hmm.
was that amazing poster with young Anakin and the shadow of Darth Vader in the back.
Oh, it's an amazing poster.
You know, like against the...
the wall.
The yeah. large home. Yeah. And, you know, and the marketing of episode 3, even not only the main movie poster has Vader's helmet very much like the original trilogy, like up in the forefront, and then Anakin's right underneath of it, but like the teaser poster for Revenge of the Sith had Anakin with his lightsaber and then his Jedi cloak morphed into Darth Vader's helmet.
That is such an awesome poster.
I love that poster, and I am still disappointed. Not really, but like when I found out when Hayden was doing autographs at Celebration, they had a bunch of those posters.
Oh man.
That they, you know how like they give the free pictures?
Yeah.
If you get an autograph, like if you don't have something to autograph, that was one of the options.
Oh, that's amazing.
And it was only available at Celebration.
Missed opportunity, man. Ugh.
I know.
That's okay. I don't have it either, so we're square.
I mean, they still have some online I could buy, but...
yeah, they're way too expensive. But anyway, we get to the main event now that we've been waiting for since we saw the teaser trailer at Celebration Chicago, right?
Yes. Thank you, Ray Park. Can we just say thank you, Ray Park?
Ray Park in mocap was excellent. Just delicious.
It was amazing. Like, there was just something about it. It just made it so much better.
Yes.
And the thing is, yes, we knew that that was going on behind the scenes, but, like, I feel like if you look at other duels in the Clone Wars and then you watch this one, it does look different. Like,
yeah.
It really...
oh, absolutely.
It just looks more real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. It's fantastic.
No, you're absolutely right.
I love it. And I love that he did the pose.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like the exact same pose.
The same lightsaber form, combat form, as he does in The Phantom Menace in episode one. I love it. I love that shot.
Which they kind of got away from in other episodes of The Clone Wars, I think.
A little bit. You're right.
Like, he had a much dirtier fight style in some of the other episodes, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that could have just been him, you know, being crazy and whatever, you know, like it could amount to a bunch of other things. But I really liked the fact that he fought like he did in episode one. And it's just partially because they brought Ray Park back in a mocap suit. Ugh, it's just beautiful. And I did finally notice, I'm proud of myself, the lightsaber noises that you always notice.
Well, it's about time.
I know. But like, I specifically paid attention. And I'm like, oh, yeah, these are really.
Yeah, cool. The hum of those lightsabers.
Like every like wave and every. Mm-hmm. Zoom or whatever the hell you want to call it. And like when he does the behind the back thing and the like,
yeah, you could really tell. I mean, I could, but I'm sure you could too, that the movements, every step, every coordinated jump and choreographed fight of this, you could see Ray Park and his body movements and how he would be doing it.
100%. Yeah, exactly.
Like he was fighting like he fights on those Instagram videos he does.
I know, right? He's amazing.
So good. And actually, I don't know if you knew, but Lauren Mary Kim is the name of the actress who does the mocap for Ahsoka.
I did know that, actually. I didn't know that until I looked it up, but yeah. I did see that. Kudos to her also, because
yes,
they obviously, you know, it wasn't just a, and it's funny because when they announced that at Celebration, I thought about, like, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, well, so they're doing a mocap of Ray Park, but they're not going to get someone to be Ahsoka,
right? That was kind of like
weird. So I like the fact that it, because yeah, like even Ahsoka's movements were a little more
very human.
Yeah, like, and that's the thing, like the, and I know, like, I know, don't hate me everybody, it's a cartoon, I understand that. But like, sometimes the fights in the Clone Wars, even with Anakin and everything, even in the Bad Batch episode, when he's like flipping over the big, huge droids that look like they came out of the Incredibles and
the Octodroids. Yeah.
Like, you know, when he's like doing his backflips off of them and like hovering in the Force and like,
yes,
you know, pushing them with the Force, like as cool as it was, like that wasn't really realistic. Like it didn't look too real. It looked animated. Like it looked like a cartoon and we're watching a cartoon. So, you know, that's great. But like, I really liked the, I guess, the raw feeling of this fight, you know?
Yeah, it wasn't as choppy as other lightsaber fights.
It was not as choppy. No, it really wasn't. And I think that has to do with the behind the scenes with the mocap suit. Now, obviously, they weren't going to do that for every fight.
There was one particular moment where I recognized it immediately, and I can't unsee it now. When I play it back in my head as I'm talking, there's a moment where Maul knocks out Ahsoka's lightsaber out of her hand, and then she brings it back to her using the Force, and then she ignites it, and she says something to the effect of, "It's a good thing Anakin wasn't here because your fighting style isn't that great," or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "You have the arrogance of Kenobi in you." But the way that she twirled the lightsaber, like when they changed positions, she waved it around like we do when you kind of like twirl the lightsaber. And the way that she did it with the motion, it felt like when she was having that sass towards Maul, the way that she did that and transitioned to the front of the camera. You know, I know there aren't cameras, but you know what I mean? Where she was in the scene, it was just really well done. So natural. It didn't look like an animated thing. It looked like she was actually there with the lightsaber swinging it around.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, like you said, it looked real, and even though it was animated, and like some of the fights in the, like throughout the course of the Clone Wars has looked fake, has looked at, like I'm specifically thinking of the Palpatine Maul mm-hmm. and Savage Opress fight. Like it was really cool,
right?
But it just looked like, okay, they did this in animation, like they couldn't have filmed this, you know?
Right. As cool as it was, you could tell it was animated.
Right, and this blurred the lines.
But that's the amazing thing about motion capture technology we have now.
Uh-huh, it's fantastic. It really is.
So they actually performed in mocap and fought in mocap. I want to see all that behind the scenes.
I know. So now here's an interesting question. Do you think that they put Ray Park and what was her name?
Lauren Mary Kim.
Okay, so do you think that they put Ray Park and Lauren up on like a scaffolding thing and made them fight on that?
They probably did something similar of that nature, but, you know, obviously not raised too far, you know, high up off the ground.
Well, no, but...
like when they had Obi-Wan and Anakin, or Hayden and Ewan McGregor, when they had them fighting in Revenge of the Sith, they were on top of things, like green screen objects.
Right, yeah.
So I would assume it was something similar to that, just they could get the movements right when they're trying to balance and all that.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, I assume it was on something like that because, yeah, like obviously it would be on the ground, so if they fell... you know, it wouldn't be death.
I mean, it could be really easy. It could be just, you know, a stage with some cushions underneath.
Right, exactly. That's probably what it was. But like, yeah, because I mean, some of those movements were really precise. Like they were, like you said, it blurred the lines. It looked real.
And do you remember the line that she says that is a callback to Luke saying it to Vader in The Empire Strikes Back? I loved it. I'm assuming that's a no.
Yeah, you set me up perfectly, and yes, that's a no.
Okay, so there's one more line that she says. After Maul says that she has Obi-Wan's or Kenobi's arrogance, she says, "You'll find I have many qualities for you to dislike."
Oh, you'll find out I'm full of surprises.
Yeah, you'll find I'm full of surprises.
Okay, yeah, all right. Huh.
I love that.
I loved that line, but I didn't pick up on that.
I did, because it was the same movement. She hits his lightsaber, just like Luke hits Vader's lightsaber in Cloud City. So he kind of cuts himself off with the line, but so does Ahsoka. Like, she may have said another word here and there, but they did it on purpose to mirror The Empire Strikes Back.
Now that you say that, yes, I know what you're saying. Yeah, but like I said, I did not catch that, no.
It's just one of those things, like we talked about all the time. We can watch the original film so many times, and yet there's still something always that we miss, and then we connect it, and like, oh my gosh, I never connected that, mm-hmm. I never saw that. That's what makes it great.
It is. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Hello, I'm Dave Filoni, Supervising Director and Executive Producer of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and you're here to learn a little more about the finale of the series, the last four episodes, and this particular episode, The Phantom Apprentice. It was a big deal when we brought Darth Maul back. Part of the puzzle's always who's going to voice this thing. I knew I needed this unique portrayal, and knowing Sam Witwer, I thought this is a guy that's really going to invest in this and bring life to it. And Sam portraying Maul had forged a relationship with Rey over the years. Rey was so into the fact that we had brought Maul back. He was really excited by it. And I just thought, here, you know, we have a really important lightsaber fight, and I've just got to figure out a way to have Rey be a part of that. I approached him about doing motion capture for it, and he was all about it. I think a villain is most compelling when they're largely telling the truth. I think for Ahsoka, she's trying to balance the fact that she knows the Jedi are a bit blind to what's going on. She knows they've made a lot of the wrong moves. She knows Maul was also ostracized by Darth Sidious. There is a lot of similarity between the two of them, and there is an opportunity there to take him up on his offer, which is like, yeah, maybe, you know what? Together they could eliminate Sidious. So you're talking about the lesser of evils. Of course, the concern there has to be that Maul's actually seeking power for himself, and power is intoxicating. And once you start down the dark path, forever will dominate your destiny. So as she gains greater power, how does she know the limit to which she's making the right decision or the wrong decision? And Ahsoka's choice, Maul's offer, is all part of that bigger opera of the battle between being selfish or selfless.
Another little Easter egg that we kind of skipped over, but I thought it was fun to mention, and it was in the credits, though, it was that the Mandalorians that were on Maul's side, the Mandalorians, some of them were actually voiced by some of the sound designers for Clone Wars, including Matthew Wood.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam Witwer was also one of the Mandalorians.
Yes. And did you get the other Easter egg voice casting?
Who is that?
I'm going to butcher this name, but it's Rook. R-O-O-K. It was that girl that was with...
Oh, yeah, yeah. So who did that?
Who did that? One Vanessa Marshall.
Oh, Space Mom.
Hera Syndulla from Rebels.
See, I didn't know that because, to be quite honest, I didn't really care about Rook.
No. I know that. And the only reason I know it is because I looked it up on Wookiepedia, not Wikipedia.
Wookiepedia.
So thank you, Wookiepedia, the official sponsor of Jabba Jabber Podcast.
No, they're not.
No, I know. The official, unofficial sponsor.
The unofficial, yeah.
Oh, there goes my computer again. That was a little Easter egg I wanted to touch on because I thought it was kind of interesting. Because at the very end of this fight, well, not the very end of the fight, but like there's that ship.
Yeah.
That's high above, like waiting for Maul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I know.
And I thought that the voice sounded like especially the second time, that I watched it, it sounded like the girl that was with Maul earlier. Okay.
Rook, right? Okay.
Which would make sense, you know, storyline wise.
Right.
Except for she's a warrior, so she's probably out there fighting with them. But anyway, so in the credits of this episode, Vanessa Marshall is credited separately as Rook Cast, which is the name of that woman. And then she's also credited separately as Gauntlet Pilot.
Oh, okay.
I guess that means it's not the same person. Because I immediately, especially the third time I watched it, I was like, ooh, that sounds like the exact same voice. And then that's why I looked it up.
Okay, this is perfect, because I knew that the ship outline that you could barely see was a Mandalorian ship. And I know now, because you said the Gauntlet. The Gauntlet is a Mandalorian ship. It's one of Bo-Katan's ships. It's her ship, actually.
It's Bo-Katan's ship?
Yes, the one that Ahsoka comes off of when she reunites with Anakin and R2. That's the ship. So if it says Gauntlet Pilot, that means that's her ship, or it's Bo-Katan, or someone stole her ship.
Well, it would have to be someone that stole her ship. Why would Bo be going after Maul?
I don't know. I don't think that would happen.
Unless Bo is double-crossing them.
Well, right. We'll have to see. But I know that the outline looked like the shape of the Mandalorian ships. And now when you said that, it connected the two dots for me.
Okay.
So my original thought of, you know, not being in the timeline of Kira from Solo and all that, that's obviously not true. But Bo-Katan, maybe, or some unnamed Mando, because someone's in that ship.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of left it for us to think about and to speculate, as well as Ahsoka. She's looking at that and wondering.
Yeah. But one thing we didn't talk about was something that me and you talked about on the phone. So when Maul does that epic pose,
uh-huh,
and he goes into his fight and he goes to attack Ahsoka, you can faintly apparently hear, well, there's no apparently, you can faintly hear, it's the same scream that Palpatine does when he does his little circle move jumping through Mace Windu and all the Jedi.
His like 800 degree spin or something.
So there's a theory that this duel between Maul and Ahsoka takes place at the exact same time as Palpatine with Mace Windu and the other Jedi. And I think that's really, really cool and interesting. But like I said, even me watching it through, and again, it could be my TV.
No, it's definitely there. It's very subtle, but it's also kind of masked by the lightsaber sound from Maul's, you know, blades moving.
Yeah. Like I said, and I heard it in that Instagram post, but like you said on the phone, like they enhance it, obviously.
Right. I think it's called the Sith Scream, like an actual force ability or power in Legends. And it's from the expanded universe. So they've used that perhaps. Of course, I would love this to be happening at the same time, but I'm not quite sure it is.
Yeah, because it further gives how far along we are and how close we are to Anakin turning to the dark side. Because basically, I mean, if you want to go with that timeline, if you think about it, by the end of this fight and they take Maul on the ship, like Rex has Maul and then Ahsoka's looking up in the sky, that probably matches up to the time where Anakin is being christened as Darth Vader.
Possibly. That would be a great connection.
Because it's right, you know, think about it, like Palpatine duels them and then kills the rest of them and then they bash the mirror, not the mirror.
The window.
They bash the window and then Anakin runs in. Well, he runs in one scene and then he's walking in the other, but that's an editing problem. He's supposed to be running, but then he slows down. I still, to this day, 15 years later, I don't understand.
Now I can't unsee it.
It was poor editing. But I still love the movie and I still love Anakin. And it wasn't Hayden's fault.
Nope.
So and then like Palpatine and Mace Windu are there, and then he does the lightning thing, and then, you know, Anakin has his back and forth. Oh, what am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? And then he chops off Mace's. So like, yeah, like in my head, especially if that scream thing, like that's why they did it, to tie it all together. Like when Ahsoka is looking up at the missing ship that like went away, that was going to rescue Maul, that's when Anakin turns to the dark side. And I don't know if she can, well, I guess she can't feel that because she doesn't know that it happened. But like, I mean, I just think it's kind of cool that like she's kind of looking up.
Well, we don't know that for sure. It's possible that that happens.
I know, but I think it's pretty possible.
Yeah, we'll have to see. There's still two more episodes.
Because, like I'm saying, like if you look at like minute-wise, the fight with Sidious and them isn't that long. Like, he's doing the lightning with Mace Windu longer than that fight takes place.
Right. We got to go back a little bit, though, because we jumped a little bit ahead. Way ahead, actually.
Technically, we already talked about this at the beginning of the episode, if you remember.
Yeah, that's true. But I wanted to mention a few things because I found them finally in my notes. I like that Maul, before all this happens, when Maul shows Ahsoka the battle happening outside of Mandalore or on Sindari,
mm-hmm.
That's the poetry that George Lucas was talking about, because that has happened at least three times or other times in Star Wars history.
Mm-hmm.
You had Return of the Jedi, you had The Last Jedi, you have The Rise of Skywalker, constantly being shown these battles and then the choice for one of the characters to make as a result of seeing them.
Mm-hmm.
I love that poetry. I love that. All the different films and trilogies and everything in Star Wars. But when we're talking about the whole part where there's the ship that was supposed to come pick up Maul and rescue him, I like that during that final lightsaber fight, right? So this is the third lightsaber fight that Ahsoka and Maul are having.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually on some scaffolding. It was like the roof or the dome of the city of Sindari, because the city's enclosed in like a globe. So it's like up, they're up in the rafters, they're up in the scaffolding and the metal yeah. areas where they're fighting. And Maul actually breaks that open, that globe, because he's trying to escape. But they still continue fighting. I really like that they used the choir singing in the background. It's the singing that you hear, that heightened music and the super dramatic one in Duel of the Fates and The Phantom Menace. I like that so much.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I really like that they included that. All these little details that are making every Star Wars fan go, holy cow, they put so much effort into this. That music is just so epic. You know, it's again, it's like poetry. They rhyme. It's a cool little detail that I had to, you know, it's the third time that I noticed it when I watched it, because I was so engrossed, you know, in what's happening. I forget what's, if there's music going on and the way that they're fighting. This is actually us seeing how Ahsoka loses her lightsabers at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
This is the scene. This is where she loses them. But then she has different ones when she's Fulcrum. But maybe she'll get them back again.
Right. And remember when that picture came out, the picture they gave us at Celebration, and they have blue lightsabers, and everyone was like, why does she have blue lightsabers? She doesn't have blue lightsabers.
Yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Not the people we were with, like, because, you know, the Celebration people are awesome.
Right.
But, like, you know, the crybaby.
I also like that in Rebels, Maul's only goal was to destroy the Sith with Ezra and that whole thing, that whole arc. Later, when he fights Obi-Wan for the last time on Tatooine, he even takes comfort while he dies, knowing that Luke, the chosen one for that moment in time, that generation, will help destroy the Emperor, where he says he will avenge us when he speaks to Obi-Wan. He's cradling him
yes.
while he's dying. I like
right.
that it just makes his character arc so much more tragic, seeing him here as well, because he knows what's coming and nobody believes him. And so everything from where we saw him in The Phantom Menace, when he was on that garbage planet and he was like a spider, and then we saw him later on in this, and then in Solo, and then all of this tied together. People keep talking about, I want to see a Vader movie. I want to see a Maul movie. I'm like, but have you seen all of this other stuff? Like, yeah, it'd be great if they combined it all, but if you could combine it all yourself as a fan, I think it takes on more meaning and it makes you appreciate it a lot more.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. And that's another one of my regrets from Celebration that I didn't buy, that
the spider Maul. Yeah, me too.
Oh my god.
And the movie aspects of this, we talk about this a lot. The transitions between the lightsaber duel and the battle happening outside in Sindari were so smooth, smooth as silk. They were so good.
Just like the movies.
Right. They were so well done. Like, you had an explosion after, like, when Ahsoka and Rey, I mean, Ahsoka and Rey are fighting.
That would be something.
That would be something. No, you know what would be something? But now that we mentioned it in this episode, I want to see Maul fight Anakin, like, as a Jedi. Could you imagine if Anakin actually showed up and then they had to fight? Not Vader and Maul, because it's obvious Maul is scared of Vader, because that's why the Inquisitors are sent to hunt him down later in Rebels. But what would have happened? So anyway.
He'd be dead.
Probably. There were a couple of Wilhelm screams, of course, edited in for good measure in this episode.
Right.
We saw the AT-TE tanks that you said you didn't really like that much, but they're their forerunners to the AT-AT walkers. So
yeah.
There has to be some kind of bridge there when it comes to animation, where these giant metal elephant walkers come from, you know? That's the connection.
They designed them.
The Republic became the Empire, and so they had a base plan construction to go off of, so.
Well, and yeah, and the First Order is just the recycled Empire, so. So, yeah, they all bridge. They all take each other's ideas.
So after Maul knocks the lightsabers out of Ahsoka's hand, like, he knocks one out and then the second one, and they're on the scaffolding, right? That's, like, half cut because Maul cut it with his lightsaber. And then Ahsoka's, like, mm-hmm. weight and Maul's weight, and it's, like, slowly starting to bend, so they're about to fall off. And he gives her one last chance.
That part was really cool.
Yeah.
I liked that.
He gives her one last chance to join him and outstretches his hand, and she says never. And so then he's about to try to kill her with a lightsaber, and then he makes a misstep, and he falls. And like you said earlier, she catches him with the Force.
Mm-hmm.
This is the part of the episode where I really, really felt for Maul.
Yeah, the kill me, let me die, whatever he's saying.
I actually have the quote here, because it is so, you know, hearing Maul yell, "Let me die." He says, "Let me go. Let me die. You're all going to burn. We're all going to die. You don't know what you're doing." Like, whoa. To me, nothing scared me as much as this in this episode, because obviously Sam Witwer doing this as a voice actor was incredible. But Maul knows. See, this is where I disagreed with you earlier when we were thinking about whether Rex was involved, which is also very possible. But to me, Maul knows he's going to be delivered to Palpatine now because he's been caught on a silver platter, and he may very well endure the pain and suffering that he couldn't even begin to imagine. And everyone else who he just said is about to die and then could potentially be watching at some point, there's just no mercy for this guy. He has not had a break this entire time. Can you remember a time when Maul actually won a lightsaber fight? Like, the lightsaber fights have been awesome, but he's never won, just like Kylo.
He killed Qui-Gon.
Okay, that's true. But then he got cut in half after.
I mean, that was a short victory because Obi-Wan was behind the force field.
Well, right, short victory. But I feel like he's constantly failing and he's constantly being used as a pawn. He was tortured and now he's been caught. And so he knows that this is all going to implode. He doesn't want to be a part of this at all. And maybe that's both. He's thinking back, but then he's also thinking, if these clones turn on me any moment, I'm going to have to fight for my life again. And I kind of don't like that we know he still gets away. I kind of wish we didn't know that.
Right, but we do.
But we do, because, like, well, then now how does he get away?
Well, and think about this, because we know that this is the ending that they were always planning, all right? We know this. Dave Filoni has said this, that the Siege of Mandalore was the end of the Clone Wars.
Right.
And it ends with Episode 3, whatever. So say they didn't cancel the Clone Wars, and we got a couple more seasons, and this was still the ending. Would we have still gotten Rebels?
I'm going to say no.
Because, like, I think I've mentioned this before. I truly feel like Disney canceled the Clone Wars, and they wanted a Star Wars cartoon.
Right.
They went to Dave Filoni because he created the Clone Wars. So he was like, all right, well, what do you guys want to do? And they're like, well, you know, let's do like these Rebels. It's around the time of A New Hope, yada, yada, yada. And he's like, okay. And then, you know, he gets his feet wet in there and, you know, he throws Fulcrum in there, ultimately knowing that it's going to be Ahsoka. But, like, you know, obviously he can't pitch it like that. And then, you know, when they finally give him a little leeway, he's like, oh yeah, by the way, this is Clone Wars 2.0. Here's Ahsoka, here's Rex, here's Vader, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think he masterfully so used Rebels to tie up loose ends from the Clone Wars
right.
That got canceled.
Personally, I love Rebels, and I know you do too.
Yeah, I own it on DVD.
But I don't get hung up on this because I don't care. I think it's cool. I don't care whether it was going to still exist or whether they revamped that in a different way because Clone Wars was canceled. Like, yeah, all these extra details. I'm just happy and blown away by how he's interconnected at all. The stuff that's happened in between, I don't really care.
Right, I gotcha.
Because, you know, it's kind of like going around and around in circles about what would happen if this happened in The Rise of Skywalker. Eventually, I just got to get past that, you know?
Yeah.
Because it is what it is, you know? And the way that they can fix it, or quote-unquote, quote fix it, is to do what they can to make it all as seamless and cohesive and coherent as possible,
which I think Dave Filoni has done a masterful job at.
Absolutely agreed. And one more thing that I just thought of is Ahsoka did the same move to Maul as she did to Vader in Rebels when she jumped on his chest and while she's fighting, and she had her like feet on his chest when she pushes off. She did the same thing to Vader. It's like an epic moment. It's like it's her thing, you know.
Yep. Totally.
So she's done that before, and she will do that again.
Yeah, it's her move. It's her signature move.
It's her move. She's fast, she's small and smart and aggressive. And we talked about how when she sees that open roof dome of the city, thinking perhaps who was it that was going to help Maul, she lingers on that, as does the episode for us, to really try to help us wrap our brains around who the individual was. But I might make just a short prediction, but that's probably going to be wrong because they usually are.
Okay.
I think that might be Bo-Katan for one reason or another. That might have been her to pick him up. Maybe not.
Okay.
But then, you know, when they catch Maul, when Ahsoka lets him go, Rex brings the ships up and they catch him with like the ropes or the grappling hooks or whatever. And then they shoot him with the phaser gun like they did with Leia in A New Hope.
Right, right, right. Okay.
And then he goes limp. At this point, there's that part of the teaser trailer where we see a very close-up shot of Maul's eyes shooting open, like he's waking up and listening.
Okay.
I guarantee you that's in this next coming episode because we haven't seen that.
No, we haven't seen that yet. You're right.
I wonder if it's like he's waking up after he's been caught and he's like locked up. And maybe he's seeing more visions or he's hearing voices or who knows what they're going to do. I just know that I'm excited to see that because I love that shot. It's intense, yellow Sith eyes.
Yep.
So, woof, that was a long episode, man.
It was. The more stuff they give us to talk about, the better these episodes are. So,
yeah. That was a lot of fun, though. A lot of things that were included that just made us... Literally, people say they sit on the edge of the seats. I was sitting on the edge of my couch cushion.
I was, too. And I'm really glad that, because after texting you a little bit, I thought about taking an extended break and, like, watching it at work. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of glad I didn't. Especially, like, the first time, I didn't want it to be on my phone.
Right. No.
You know?
Yeah. Second time I watched it on my phone. But we got two episodes left, and the season will be over. Sad.
I'm thinking this week I'm going to try and actually wake up to watch it before I go to work.
Well, the last episode is on May the 4th, so...
Oh, yeah. I'll be off for that.
So, yeah. We'll have Friday, and then we'll have Monday with the finale.
Ooh, we should watch it together.
We could.
The last one.
Sounds good to me. As long as you wake up early. I don't know. We'll see if you wake up.
Well, no, I have to wake up early because that key is going on sale that I need.
Why do you need that key, though?
If I can't get a pin, I'm going to get a key.
You can get a pin, too. I think I'm going to pass on the key.
I was telling my mother today how depressed I am. And I figured it out. This is the first year since 2014 that I will not be at the Disney store on May 4th.
This is true.
Now, they didn't used to make a big deal out of it, but I still made sure to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, Disney store, because I always took off. And then especially when they started, because I think 2015 was the first year the Disney store did something with it.
All right, like we said, that was a long episode, but thank you everybody for listening to episode 10 of Jawa Jabber, which is also episode 10 of The Clone Wars. We are looking forward to the next two, and this is going to be the final season of The Clone Wars, which is both sad, but also exciting to see what Dave Filoni has left in store for all of us fans. Thank you again for listening. If you want to check us out on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. You can also email us at jabberingjawas@gmail.com. But I think that's going to do it for this episode, man. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that about sums it up.
All right. So we will catch you guys on our next episode of Jawa Jabber. But until then, my name is Dennis.
And I'm David.
And may the Force be with you.
Always.
Jawa Jabber, a Star Wars podcast, is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited, and is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. All names, sounds, and all Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of Disney and the respective trademark and copyright holders, unless otherwise indicated. Jawa Jabber, broadcasting exclusively on Utini Radio.
We're not done yet.
And I'm David. All right, holding breath. Because I'm Dennis, and may the Force be with you always. Bye-bye. David can't cooperate, so bye. David doesn't get to say goodbye.
Cut, print, move to Broadway.
Oh my God, yes! Yes, I am so happy that you said that. That's awesome. That means I'm having influence on you, and it makes me happy.
No, no, you're still holding on! Let go!
Yep, yep.